Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Greetings, y'all. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Today is, this is a random story. I'm just going to tell you a tale of what happened to me last night and how it pertains to sexuality. So I have an awesome 12-year-old sister-in-law, and she has awesome friends, and they let me accompany them to a One Direction concert last night. One Direction being, unless you live under, like, I don't know, do people live under rocks anymore? Is that a thing? I think people have all, like, upgraded by this point. One Direction's, like, the biggest boy band in the world right now, and they're a fascinating group. They don't have, like, a Howie. They don't have, like, the Chris Kirkpatrick, the one who's, like, nobody's really excited about. All of them are really cute. None of them are particularly strong dancers. They're great vocalists. Fascinating to watch. Adorable, up and down. Like, if you're gonna like them, you're gonna like all of them, which is a really interesting change. They're a fascinating group, and they, of course, have mesmerized young ladies the world over, and I'm sure young men as well that are into pop music. So I got to check out that scene and learn a little bit about the pop music world for 12-year-olds right now. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about that tale. So we enter into the Wells Fargo, which is huge, and it is completely sold out. I mean, the thing that comes to mind is, like, Beatlemania, because they're also British. One Direction is British and one guy, Irish guy. And it's comparable, the level of excitement. The girls are wearing, like, matching T-shirts. Everybody is so enthralled with just the concept of even being there. They're not the Beatles because, well, for one thing, they don't play instruments. That's a pretty significant element. Niall plays the guitar sometimes. But yeah, they're not the Beatles, but these girls don't care. These girls could not give less of a shit about whether or not these guys are the Beatles. These are the biggest stars in the world, according to them. And from what I learned, you are either a directioner or a directionator. You are a directioner if you love all of them, and that is a true fan. And they are very excited about all of the guys. Directionators are somebody who only likes one of them or likes all but one of them or any other combination thereof. If you aren't in love with all of the guys, if you aren't a crazy mofo, as it goes, then you're a directionator, which is pretty big schism. I'm thinking like Sunni Sufi sort of thing going on there. I also learned that they have not completely forgiven Harry for dating Taylor Swift and probably never will. That's probably something they will never forget. I learned that as well. They know every word to every song, which is delightful to see that level of enthusiasm about anything. Every single song is written to a girl. Every single song is written about love. There was a fascinating moment where they did a couple covers of songs that you might have actually heard before, like Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus, which I felt like was played for me personally because I was like, yes! And all the girls around me were like, what is this song? I'm still excited! But yeah, every single song about love. The messages are entirely of obsessive, manic, passionate love, based on not knowing each other super well, but being incredibly committed immediately. There's a lot of sexual undertones that are, you know, subtle, but, like, not so much. There's a lot of, like, you know, the same sort of subtleties they would have used in the 1950s, like, I will rock you, and, like, things of that nature. So it's the whole time it's just girls having cute boys tell them that they love them and that they want to have sex with them. Now again, as I mentioned, the guys don't really dance. There was like one point where two of the guys sort of did a jazz square and it was kind of adorable, but that was literally the only move they knew, and then they tried like a sort of like cabbage patch thing and it ended pretty quickly. So it's interesting that with the lack of dancing and with the lack of backup dancers, it loses a lot of the sexual connotation. It becomes very romantic. When you have backup dancers, especially nowadays, like the sexual overtones become that much more overt because they're making gestures with their hips that are basically fucking, but in the air. And without that, it just has this very, like, I love you sort of tone to it, which is interesting. Although the lyrics still are completely sexual, like, let's go crazy, crazy, crazy. You know, I know we only met, but let's pretend it's love. Tonight, let's get some and live while we're young. Like, it's pretty obvious what that song is about. But again, it, like, just seems so very wholesome. And not that sexuality is not wholesome. But it doesn't seem like it's so patently sexual. Although the girl's fervor is obviously, like, significantly sexual to them. There's also a really interesting twist about the way, you know, females are represented. Like, because they're showing videos periodically in between breaks as they go to change clothes or whatever, and it'll be like a One Direction video, like, of a crazy party, and there are girls at these parties, but they're not focused on, they're not featured in the same way that girls are featured in, like, let's say, like, a rap video or a rock video, where the girl's scantily clad nature is part of the thing you're looking for. This is definitely aiming to an audience that doesn't really care to see that. And as the guys are shown without shirts, and they're shown, like, waking up disheveled after a party, there aren't girls there around them. They are shown as available. They are shown as not attached to anybody, so that the girls can project onto each guy the possibility of access to them, that there is in some way a remote possibility that that guy actually is single and available and could actually really be into them, which is a huge part of the appeal. One thing that was very reassuring was that the kids were fully aware of the amount of advertising that was being aimed at them at that moment. Perhaps the girls that I was with are just particularly bright, but they were fully aware of the number of corporate logos that were in their face the whole time. The break between the opening act and One Direction was just commercials. The Wells Fargo Center is, of course, just filled with obvious advertising. And then there were lots of tie-ins, One Direction with all these other companies, that are promoting, you know, not only their products, but also theoretically their anti-bullying. I was pleased that the girls noticed that this was happening and were aware of how much advertising was being thrust into their face and it wasn't being taken for granted. I don't know if it had any other effect, but I at least was glad that they were aware. There were so many thoughts that came to mind related to gender and sexuality the whole time I was watching the show, and I think a lot of them wouldn't really be surprising to you. I mean, there was the fact that these girls were just so entirely enthusiastic, and this was clearly, like, what female enthusiasm looks like at that age, which is cool. And I appreciate that their enthusiasm was for something that was so, it really is ultimately positive. Yes, you can have, like, a whole lot of objections to the corporate nature of it and to the fact that it's a very homogenous group of white guys, and that the audience was still, for the most part, very white. And they're also a very privileged class to get to be able to go to a concert like that, to be able to afford it when the tickets cost so much. But ultimately, these young girls were just incredibly enthusiastic about a thing that just makes them very happy. And I get really disappointed when folks use, you know, little girl excitement as shorthand for somebody being stupid or immature, because little girl excitement is awesome. And talking crap on the things that little girls love is the height of unnecessary jerkdom, I think. Little girls do less harm to the world than probably any other group, and bring joy to it as much as any group can. So it was really awesome to be surrounded by this huge group of very enthusiastic young women who were really nice to each other. It's a perfectly good opportunity to see all that, you know, that bitchy cattiness competition for men thing that we always hear about how girls drag each other down. And, you know, I figured at some point there'd be some shit talking. They'd say something about some girl's outfit. I figured I'd hear something about the girls that stand up and dance and, like, maybe draw a little bit of attention to themselves. But nobody was doing that. They were all just completely focused on the show, and everyone was very polite. If you bumped into somebody while you're dancing, they would say things like, I'm sorry. And I was very cute. And I'm like, oh, you've never been in a mosh pit. That's sweet. But it's a great demographic, young females, you know, the teens and preteens, and they're cool, and I really don't like when people use it as shorthand that somebody's crying like a little girl, or that somebody's enthusiasm was somehow bad, because it was akin to that. So I'm enthusiastic about this generation, And the fact that they were all sharing it on their phones the whole time, but still paying attention. It was a nice little flashback to feeling that level of just unfettered joy at the idea of some pop icon. It's very sweet. So I would love to hear your thoughts on any of this stuff and concerts you've gone to and sexuality and the way it feels to be a kid. So definitely, as always, you can hit me up, sexwithtimory@gmail.com. You can hit me up on the Sex with Timory Facebook page. You can leave comments on the iTunes page, whatever works for you. Tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. And as always, thank you very much for listening. And have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.